Hey, welcome into Positive Light. It's a podcast where we're trying to inject a positive influence not only into your life, but this world. Hey, welcome in. My name is Bob Miles, and today's subject is going to be on the spoken word. You know, your words have a hold more power than you think. Since words hold power, it's both important to speak words that hold positive intentions and always be prepared to keep your words to others, as they're a reflection of your intentions and integrity. You're only as good as your word. We need to use our words to build others up. God wants us to use words to build others up. And Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." You know, sometimes our words are like a sledgehammer. We swing away without thinking, and suddenly we look around and realize a pile of relational rubble surrounds us. When you thoughtlessly sling your words around and tear people down, your relationships are going to suffer. One reason we're not constructive with our words is we don't realize how powerful this tool is, our mouth and the words that God has given to us. We say things without thinking, and people remember them. You too can still remember certain things people said to you in a careless way, even as far back as grade school, or college, or when you first started working. That's how powerful words are. So when it comes to your mouth, think of it as a power tool and be extremely careful with it. Rick Warren stated, "One time I went into the garage and grabbed a manual for a power saw. As I was reading through the directions, I was struck by how it related to the use of our mouths. The directions said, 1, know your power tool. 2, keep your guards in place. 3, be careful around children. 4, store idle tools when not in use. 5, don't overreach. And 6, never use in an explosive atmosphere." How can you use your mouth more carefully so you are using it to build relationships and not to tear people down? Stop accusing. Stop saying, "I didn't really mean to say that," or "That's just how I am" before my first cup of coffee. Realize that what you say impacts everybody around you. You need to talk less. We often get into trouble because we just don't know when to shut up. If it's a power tool, you shouldn't have to use it much, right? You need to listen more. If you listen more, you can better understand people's needs. Then we need to start building. Let your first thoughts be, "What does that person need? How can I use a word of encouragement to build him or her up? What can I say to make a difference in his or her life?" We need to consider making this part of our morning prayer. "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And that's out of Psalm 19:14. Now I'm going to like to tell you a story about how our words can be harmful. An old man spread rumors that his neighbor was a thief. As a result, the young man was arrested. Days later, the young man was proven innocent. After being released, the man felt humiliated as he walked to his home. He sued the old man for wrongly accusing him. In court, the old man told the judge, "They were just comments, didn't harm anyone." The judge, before passing sentence on this case, told the old man, "Write all the things you've said about him on a piece of paper. Cut them up, and on the way home, throw the pieces of paper out. Tomorrow, come back to hear your sentence." The next day, the judge told the old man before receiving the sentence, "You will have to go out and gather all the pieces of paper that you threw out yesterday." The old man said, "I can't do that. The wind must have spread them, and I won't know where to find them." The judge then replied, "The same way simple comments may destroy the honor of a man to such an extent that one is not able to fix it." The old man realized his mistake and asked for forgiveness. And this is another story that I have on the power of our words. And it's a true story. Two girls got on a bus and they started talking to each other. "Hey, did you hear about Sarah? She got engaged yesterday." "No, I never knew that. That's amazing that Sarah got engaged." "Yeah, she's so sloppy and unorganized. How is she going to run a household?" "She is never on time. Also, she cooked for us once and her food was terrible. Her new husband is going to starve." She spends money faster than she receives it. How will she get through the month? So it went on and on and on. Behind the two girls was another lady who suddenly spoke up. I'm sorry to interrupt you girls, but I wanted to introduce myself. My son just got engaged to Sarah. Now that I know this information, I will tell my son everything that you said about Sarah, and he must break off the engagement immediately. I will also tell all my friends how grateful I am to you girls for letting me know what Sarah is really like. The girls were shocked. They started to stutter and struggle to find the right words. No, no, they said with trepidation. Please do not let your son break the engagement. Sarah is wonderful. She will make a great mother. She really will. She is so warm, friendly, and caring. We were just talking. We never meant to harm anybody. Please don't break the engagement, they pleaded. However, the woman was adamant. Thank you. But based on what you said, I will make every effort to break up as soon as possible. The girl you described sounds like a terrible person. I will inform my son immediately. The girls were horrified and crushed. After a short silence, the lady turned around to the girls and said, I'm not the boy's mother, but imagine if I was. Do you know the damage you could have caused to this couple? You almost destroyed potential family just because you had nothing else to talk about. Words either build or destroy. You need to use them wisely, the woman said sternly, and with that, she got off the bus. This story should terrify us all. The reason for this is because it is so easy to talk all the time without any concern for the consequences. However, unknowingly and unwittingly, we could say things that have a far-reaching impact and will tangibly cause distress and pain to others. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words would never harm me. The tragedy of such a situation is that we have grown up believing such a statement is true. However, such a phrase is false and poisons our personality, because despite the statement I just said, words are powerful. Communicating in a harsh and acidic way can destroy and debilitate a person for life, but it's only words, people say. Scars from sticks and stones eventually heal. Scars from harmful words can take an entire lifetime to overcome, and in some cases, will plague a person forever. So next, I'd like to play you a song by Tommy Walker. Tommy Walker, make sure you go check him out on YouTube. He's under Tommy Walker Ministries. You can subscribe to his channel. He's also at TommyWalkerMinistries.org. And his song that I'm going to play is called The Word. And here it is.
We love your word, Lord. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Let's sing it.
Oh, the word of God is living. The word of God is active. Sharper than a double-edged sword. Separating spirit and soul. The word of God is standing. A lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path.
Oh, we love your word. We love your word. Oh, Lord. We hide it in our hearts. We want to live. We want to live your word. Stand on your promises. Spirit and soul, the word of God is standing.
Hey,
Hey, what a great song by Tommy Walker. Really enjoyed that. So here's another story that I want to tell you about your word. So 15-year-old Vicky and 11-year-old Michael were like most sisters and brothers. They drove each other nuts. Both knew exactly which buttons to push to irritate the other. Vicky remembers, we fought like cats and dogs, especially when our parents were gone. Michael was always getting into my stuff and invading my room. You know, just being a typical little brother. The two usually went their own way, but one sunny day, they decided to walk together to the Kmart near their home. They started down the dirt road, Michael stirring up the clouds of dust he kicked at the rocks along the way. He was chattering away, and for once, Vicky really listened to him. She looked at his freckled face, the straight hair falling across his forehead, his eyes sparkling as he laughed, and it hit her. He really was a wonderful little brother. The way he expressed himself, his sense of humor, and the outgoing personality all held the promise of a remarkable young man he was becoming. She stopped him. Michael, I need to tell you something. You're the best brother in the world, and I'm really blessed to have you as my little brother. I just wanted you to know that. She hugged him, and the two continued on their way. The words forgotten as they browsed through the display at the store. 2 days later, Michael died in an accident, and Vicky remembered those words she had said to her brother. Grateful she had taken the opportunity to tell him that he was special to her, while there was still time. Years later, she realized that on that country road that day, God had visited an insecure teenager who's about to face a loss that would shake her to the core, and he had prepared a way to carry her through it without regrets or guilt. No, she hadn't realized her and Michael's days would be so short, those moments so fleeting, but for the last 45 years, the fact that she said those words to her little brother has been a comfort to Vicky's heart. Why are we so stingy with our words when they have the power to touch a heart, to change a life, or to brighten someone's day? You know, your words are important. In Matthew 12, 36 and 37, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Few people realize the importance of the words they speak. There is almost no way to overemphasize the importance of what we say. Yet most people give it almost no thought, usually speaking without even thinking. Jesus came from heaven and revealed to us that words are important, very important. The Bible has much to say on this subject. We ignore it at our own peril. You may not be familiar with what the Bible says about the importance of words. But if you knew only the verse above, Matthew 12, 36 and 37, that should be enough to convince you your judgment will be determined by the words you have spoken. You know, certainly this is not a negative message. When we understand the importance and power of words, we can use them for good. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, at Proverbs 18:21. Just as fire can cause great destruction, tamed and controlled, it can be a great blessing to us. So it is with words, life is in the power of the tongue. That means life is controlled by words. I repeat, life is controlled by words. Words release authority. Words determine the course of events. Words matter. So what should we do about this? First, you need to study what the Bible says about words. Jesus said if you continue in his word, you would know the truth, and the truth would make you free, out of John 8, 31 and 32. Also, you need to ask the Lord to teach you and help you to speak correctly, because we must have God's help to tame our tongue. So say this, Lord, teach me and help me to speak the right words, not only towards people, but also towards myself. We are deeply influenced by the world around us. Daily, we're bombarded with 1,000 images, from the news we watch to the sermons we hear to the people we meet. our attitudes, moods, beliefs, and ultimately our actions are swayed, cemented, and interpreted by the voices we listen to. Yet no voice is so influential in a person's life as their own. Paul David Tripp makes this point in his daily devotional when he writes, "No one is more influential in your life than you are, because no one talks to you more than you do. We never stop talking to ourselves. The things you say to you about you, God, and life are profoundly important because they form and shape the way you then respond to the things that God has put on your plate." It's true, whether we realize it or not, we are in constant communication with ourselves, commenting internally on everything we encounter. We are dictating the narrative we believe based on the interpretation of the world around us. And that can be a very dangerous thing. How to think about self-talk. You know, the secular self-help movement places enormous emphasis on the power of self-talk. They do this because they rightly recognize that what we say to ourselves informs our beliefs. But here's where this movement fails. It tells us we can achieve self-salvation through the right of self-talk. If we just exercise the psychological power of positive thinking, we can do anything. We are set free to create reality and follow our dreams. But that's not what Paul Tripp was getting at, and it's not what Scripture says when it teaches the importance of truthful self-communication. "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life," out of Proverbs 4:23. This is not a call to speak affirmations in the mirror to boost your self-esteem. It's a call to be careful how you think, because thoughts have consequences. As humans, our hearts are naturally deceptive, and our innermost desires are infected with sin, Jeremiah 17:9. Even though God has saved us, we still wrestle with the flesh. That means sometimes we're tempted to preach a false gospel to ourselves and believe the lies we hear. Positive self-talk that discounts reality is not going to help us, but truthful self-talk is. That's what it means to keep our hearts with all vigilance. We buffer it with the truth, ground it, root it, mold it with the truth. Soak your thoughts in Scripture and surround yourself with honest voices. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Philippians 4:8. And here is 6 truths to preach to your heart. But how do we do that? Especially in moments of suffering or disbelief, when truth seems painful, fuzzy, or far away, we recenter ourselves on the truth of God's Word, Romans 12:2. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." That's where reality is found. You know, so here are 6 truths to teach your heart today. Number 1, God is faithful. Exodus 34:6-7. When you're seeking to self-talk, you must start with God, not you. And what a better place to begin meditating than His unfading faithfulness. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Number 2, God has saved me, out of Galatians 2:20. You are no longer your own. You are not enslaved to sin. Your identity is firmly fixed in Christ. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Number 3, God is with me. Romans 8:9-15. The Spirit indwells every believer and helps bear with them, put sin to death, and pursue righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Number 4, God is in control. Psalms 47:7-8. He holds the whole world in his hands. And that's a source of comfort and worship, not fear and anxiety. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Number 5, God forgives me. 1 John 1:9. We still sin, we still fail, but there is forgiveness in the mercy of God. When we repent and feel the bitter horror of our sin, God promises to forgive us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And number 6, God will keep me. Romans 8:35-39. God will bring every one of his children through this life to a better one. He will hold you fast. He will keep you. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's word will not fail. That's where you find the truth. So teach your heart the truth, and that is self-talk. So in talking to ourselves, there are 4 truths worth remembering. So what is the truth that we need to say to ourselves? What can we say to ourselves when we feel overwhelmed by life, or fearful of the unknown future, or despairing over a trial? Well, number 1, remember God is sovereign. We should remind ourselves that God is in control of everything. He holds the world in his hands. Nothing happens outside of his will. In fact, he is not surprised by our circumstances. What is happening to us is not by chance. Rather, it is from the hand of God for our good. And 2, remember who we are in Christ. We should remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, because Christ redeemed us from sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are adopted sons and daughters of the Most High. God loves us like he loves his Son. God looks at us and sees the righteousness of Christ. In Christ, we are now the heirs of his kingdom. 3, remember God's character. We should remind ourselves of who God is, of who he's revealed himself to be. He is good. He is holy. He is just. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, forever faithful. He is gracious, merciful, and kind. And all of his character, of course, is seen definitely in Jesus himself. As Jesus said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And number 4, remember God's promises. We should remind ourselves of God's promises. He has promised salvation for everyone who calls on his name. He is always with us. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. He hears us when we cry out to him. He will meet all our needs. He has promised us eternity with him in heaven. The next time you face a trial or find yourself thinking such thoughts as, "I'll never get through this," speak the truth. Go ahead. It's okay to talk to yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself. Remind yourself of hope you have in because of Jesus Christ. So I asked God what was his thoughts on the spoken word, and here's what he relayed to me. He said, "Make sure to put my word on your heart." Out of Psalm 119:11, he said, it states, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." He said it was written by David to me. When you put my word on your heart, when this occurs, you will speak from the heart. Out of your mouth will come me and my words. This is a good and pleasing to me. So my challenge for you this week, my challenge is to put God's word on your heart. Look at what you're listening to. Make sure it's appropriate and positive. Look how you're talking to not only to others, but look how you're talking to yourself. And my prayer, as always, is that God blesses the journey that you're on with him and that you embrace the path that he's put you on. So make sure you connect with us. I'm at positivelightpodcast@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And as of now, you can probably go anywhere you download your podcast and get Positive Light for free. Also, make sure you check out the medical stuff with Chris and Mark. You can get their podcast for free at the same places. So next week, guys, next week is going to be a special show. We have a testimony by a good friend of mine named Tim Burton, and he's got an uplifting and positive testimony that'll just knock your socks off. You know, with Tim giving his testimony next week, that's kind of the culmination of all three of my shows so far. Friendship, forgiveness, and the spoken word. Tim will be touching on all aspects of those. So again, please don't miss next week's show. Have a great week, guys, and we'll see you next week.